This is the English service of Ukrainian radio.
This is the English service of Ukrainian radio. Next in line is the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
The issue of countering Russian hybrid warfare tops the agenda of Ukraine's Interior Minister's visit to the United States. On Monday, Arsen Avakov came to Washington to meet with officials of the U.S. Department of State and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The five-day visit program also includes a visit to the FBI Academy in Quantico, as well as a series of meetings on joint actions between United States and Ukrainian law enforcement agencies in the fight against organized crime. Interior Minister Arsen Avakov comments.
Наш візит – це суто ділова поїздка, яка включає в себе безумовно як політичне питання, так і питання суто професійне.
The aim of this visit is to strengthen our cooperation with the Federal Bureau of Investigation in such an important issue as combating organized crime, in particular Russian crime, and counteracting its influence on processes in the world as well as in Ukraine. This is very important given the events in Salisbury, chemical attacks on the peaceful population in Syria, interference with electoral processes and cyber threats, said Interior Minister Arsen Avakov. In addition, he said that it is planned to sign a memorandum of cooperation between the National Police of Ukraine and the Drug Enforcement Administration of the U.S. Department of Justice. In the meantime, United States Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, said that the Trump administration would announce more sanctions against Russia. Haley also said that the response by the Trump administration was taken into account not only the recent chemical weapons attack, but also other, smaller attacks. The action, she added, came after diplomatic options had been exhausted. If you look at what Russia is doing, they continue to be involved with all their own actors. Whether their involvement in Ukraine, whether you look in Syria and their way of propping up Assad and working with Iran, that continues to be a problem, Haley said, adding that the use of poisoning agent against a spy in England is another issue. She added that Russia is feeling the effects of US actions, including the sanctions that are continuing to happen.
You are listening to the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
Throughout the past week, the situation in the war zone in eastern Ukraine remained fragile. The number of enemy strikes recorded daily by the Ukrainian Ministry of Defense remains high, causing injuries and fatal casualties among the Ukrainian military personnel. The highest number of strikes by Russia-backed militants was recorded on Monday. Among this week's hotspots were the village of Luhansk, the town of Svitlodarsk, Pisky, Butivka coal mine, and many other spots along the engagement line. At critical situations, Ukrainian servicemen were forced to fire back, according to reports by the Defense Ministry. Residential areas in the village of Zaitsevo were shelled from artillery on Wednesday. The intensity of enemy fire relatively decreased on Friday. Via Skype from eastern Ukraine on Friday, Alexander Hug, deputy chief monitor of the OSCE Special Monitoring Mission, reported on the current figures of ceasefire violations, trying yet again to draw the attention to civilians who live in vicinity of the contact line. He emphasized on the failure to demine and stressed on the danger that mines and unexploded ordnance hidden in the vegetation present to the locals. He also reminded about the grave consequences of the damage to civilian infrastructure that warfare presumes in the Donbas region.
And on Tuesday this week, War Donbas employees were again fired upon in Yasinovata. These are the same people who for the past 4 years have, against all the odds, ensured that the Donetsk water filtration station remained operational. These are the brave men and women, despite being shot at and shelled, who have ensured that more than 300,000 people on both sides of the contact line have had clean drinking water. There are, however, limits to endurance. Tuesday's attack on these workers has left 5 of them in hospital, 1 critically injured. I can only hope and pray that all of them make a full recovery. An attack on the workers of the Donetsk filtration station is nothing less than an attack on over 300,000 civilians. On Wednesday this week, the Donetsk filtration station was closed and sealed and its operation ceased.
Alexander Hug. Cutting off from water is an act against the civilian population on both sides of the contact line, he added. U.S. Special Representative for Ukraine Negotiations Kurt Volker had also commented on the attack upon the personnel of Donetsk Water Filtration Station by Russian-led forces, saying that targeting civilians was unacceptable.
This is the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary.
The Waste Innovation Forum 2018 kicked off in Kyiv on Monday. The event is organized by the Global Waste Innovations Forum, an initiative aimed to increase effectiveness of the waste management system in Ukraine and to decrease negative impact of waste on the environment. Over the past 2 decades, waste problem has proven to be one of the critical challenges in Ukraine. The country, with over 38,000 waste polygons and only 1 waste-to-energy plant. According to the Minister of Regional Development, about 11 million tons of domestic waste were created in Ukraine in 2017. 95% of them are dumped at landfill sites covering 10,000 hectares. So the forum focuses on the waste management industry, highlighting its development opportunities, raising awareness of Ukrainian citizens of efficient and environmentally friendly practices of waste management, and making social pressure to promote reforms in the field of waste management. The forum features 4 panels focusing on waste innovations, landfills and environment, waste logistics and processing, and waste as a resource. As we have reported earlier, since January 1, 2018, the landfilling of non-recycled domestic waste has been banned in Ukraine as a new law on waste management came into force. In addition, Ukrainians should now sort the garbage, separating large-scale construction and hazardous household waste and collect it separately. It is vital for Ukraine to change the strategy of waste management, believes MP Alona Babak.
Треба використати досвід, який вже має більше 20 років, європейський, по впровадженню так званої розширеної відповідальності виробника.
We should learn from the European experience. For more than 20 years, European companies have been using the strategy of extended producer responsibility to motivate people to sort waste. This strategy makes the manufacturer of the product responsible for the entire life cycle of the product, and especially for the take-back, recycling and final disposal, obliging producers to internalize waste management costs in their product prices and ensuring the safe handling of their products. If the producer pays for the entire cycle of products, the consumer will pay only for his own unsorted waste that cannot be recycled, said MP Alona Babak. According to the report, Ukraine's transition to renewable energy by 2050, this country has all the capabilities to cover 91% of its own energy needs with the green energy by 2050. If Ukraine encourages the transition to renewable energy, its share may reach 40% by 2035 already. The transition is expected to happen, first of all, due to the wind, solar and biomass energy.
You're listening to the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
Valentin Frechka, a high school leaver from the Transcarpathian village of Sokirnitsa, has won the first prizes at two international school Olympiads in Tunisia and Kenya with his practicable invention. He developed an innovative technology for manufacturing paper from fallen leaves. Valentin says the idea dawned on him while he was preparing for one of the competitions where contestants had to present an innovative research. Together with his curator, he gathered fallen leaves of birch, willow, oak, and hornbeam. Then the leaves underwent certain chemical processes, and they obtained pulp, from which they made sheets of paper. The Olympia juries in Tunisia and Kenya were so impressed that Valentin's first prize was unquestionable. In an interview with Ukrainian radio, he said that he would travel to other countries to present his technology for manufacturing paper from fallen leaves. The main goal of this project is to improve paper production. Besides, fallen leaves can be used as a raw material. It's a huge potential, said Valentin. His research manager, Vladislav Mirutenko, an authoritative biologist, believes that the innovation is very promising, since fallen leaves are an inexhaustible and renewable resource.
Тут не йде мова про те, що потрібно вирубувати дерева, вирубувати ліси для виготовлення паперу. То використовується той матеріал, який поки що...
There will be no need to cut trees to make paper. Here we use the material that man hasn't used for this purpose before. Of course, this raw material comes in smaller amounts than timber, but it can be a perfect alternative to timber for small-scale manufacture of paper, said Vladislav Mirutenko. According to him, in the near time, Valentin is going to present his innovation at an international school Olympiad in Serbia, and in June he is going to the United States, where he stands fair chances to receive a scholarship.
This is the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary.
An exhibition by French photojournalist Guillaume Herbeau has opened on Tuesday at Taras Shevchenko National Museum in Kyiv. Being one of the five exhibitions programmed within the French Spring Festival, it's dedicated to the Chernobyl exclusion zone and thus titled The Zone, presenting images from 2009 to 2011. Press attaché at the French Institute of Ukraine, Victoria Tomenchuk, comments.
Гійом 2001 року почав туди їздити. І як він сам говорить, Чорнобильська зона почала його приваблювати.
Гійом began traveling to the Chernobyl zone in 2001. He said the zone attracted him and subsequently it had changed his mode of work and the photographer himself. In this collection, his trips from 2009 to 2011 are documented. It features numerous fascinating works, where one can observe abandoned villages and towns, namely Poliske or Rosocha. There are also photos of a cemetery with military equipment contaminated by radiation. Each photograph has a small story behind, including stories of people who had stayed there, or those who'd come back to live in the exclusion zone, said Victoria Tomenchuk in an interview with Ukrainian radio. Herbeau was shocked by the disaster of 1986 in Chernobyl. He was 15 years old back then. Since he first came to Ukraine to visit the exclusion zone in 2001, his trips had become regular. The city of Poliske, for instance, was evacuated with its 20,000 citizens 10 years after the nuclear catastrophe. Today, around 10 people still live there, and one of its last residents is pictured on a photo from 2010 by Guillaume. I like and I hate Chernobyl at the same time. It is at the same time a place of pollution, of death, but also of freedom, he said in an interview. While staying in the role of a photojournalist, Guillaume Herbault also tries to push the boundaries of the reportage genre, according to him, introducing an individual artistic approach in his photographs. In his work, he addressed painful historical events, from Auschwitz and Nagasaki to Chernobyl, as well as the present-day reality of the Russian aggression in Ukraine. Working in the Donbas region and stressing the importance of reminding about a war in the European continent that is ongoing.
And with that we end the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
Ukrainian Radio, English Service.